Hello and welcome to the Paul Marinelli podcast here on the Talk to Motive automotive aftermarket platform, coming to you from Melbourne, Australia. And interesting coming from Australia, given a press release that went out globally that involved several organizations, automotive aftermarket associations all over the world. And this is the global right to repair movement for vehicles. Now, the Australian Automotive Aftermarket Association was pivotal in achieving this, unbelievably put Australia on top of the list of all the countries around the world to be the only country in the world to have comprehensive legislation to protect consumers' rights to fair and open competition. Now, I have a great deal of personal experience with the AAAA and their work in achieving that legislation. More than a decade of lobbying, of hard work between governments, different ministers, different governments, different departments, everybody getting lobbied from not just the independent repairers, but from the car manufacturers with big dollars, big money lobbyists all the way through, trying everything, throwing everything at stopping independent repairers from having fair and equitable access to data and information and so forth, and parts, of course, to keep the cars on the road. Now, we achieved that. That's legislation in Australia. I'm very proud as an Australian and as an Australian involved in the automotive aftermarket industry to know the fact that we were the first in the world to do it. Now, I remember visiting the United States and over a decade ago and going on about right to repair and that they were almost there and they'd almost done it, and it was passed in Massachusetts as law, but not across every state in America. And of course, the car companies appealed it, and now they're back to square one, filing it again. Now, good on them. They've put a lot of hard work into it. But to think that, you know, after all these years, they are still not where Australia has managed to get to is quite extraordinary and something we can be very proud of. So it is important that all of the automotive aftermarket associations around the world, or many of them, get together and create this movement to establish a global right to repair situation against the car manufacturers who sadly think somehow that they are able to service everybody. And if you looked at 1.5 billion vehicles on the world's roads and $1.8 trillion being contributed to the global economy just from the servicing of those cars, and that after the vehicles exit their warranty periods, however long they may be, independent repairers are currently performing 70% of all repairs. Now, how on earth the car companies think that through their dealerships they'll be able to do that all themselves by blocking access out from independent repairers is just beyond any form of normal understanding. It makes no sense at all. It cannot be done. And the other thing that I found amazing throughout this whole discussion and what's happening around the world and the arguments put for and against and so forth, and quite frankly, there are none that are against if when you're looking at consumer protection and doing the best you can for consumers and giving them the fairest deal. There really is nothing you can put against that, which is the driving force that I tell any organization lobbying to try and get this through as legislation, is that it is, at the end of the day, all about the consumer, all about the motorist. That's what made it work in Australia. It took a long time, but that's what it's all about. It's not about everybody else making money or who's making, who isn't. I mean, the car companies in Australia now will make more money from the fees that they charge for access to their information and so forth, because no one's asking for this for nothing, to access the information and the parts and everything else that they need and the data and so forth. There is an opportunity to make money. And what I found was particularly hilarious about the Australian situation was you had car company lawyers here fighting against the right to repair legislation going through, whereas the same companies, the same car companies, were sharing data in other parts of the world. And when confronted with a question by a judge about this, about why you're doing it around the world and you won't do it here, they actually had to take a leave of absence to answer that. I just thought that was beyond belief. It was hilarious, actually. It was a tragicomedy, really. And that set them on their downward path to ensure that this legislation went through. And at the end of the day, no one hates the car companies. Everybody wants to support the companies who have put the work in and the IP in and all that into it. But you cannot limit that only to your own dealers. That is not being fair to consumers. It's not being fair to the industry. But it is also impossible to service everyone. So I don't know why they keep going down this road around the world thinking that this will work, because it won't and it can't. But anyway, they'll keep throwing good money after bad. And at the end of the day, it's all about the consumer. And if that's what all the nation's automotive aftermarket bodies think about, then that's how a good result will come. Now, the signatories to the Global Vehicle Right to Repair movement are ACMA, the AIA of Canada, AICA of Italy, ARIDRO, the Assopartes organisation, of course, the Australian Automotive Aftermarket Association, the Auto Care Association of the United States, CAREP, AG, IGEA, MIWA, Industria Nacional de Autopartes, AC, TASAT, out of Turkey, the Automotive Aftermarket Alliance of Brazil, AFA, ANDAP, ANFAPE, ANZAP, CONARAM, SINCOPICAS, and SINDIREPA of Brazil. The core objectives are to promote a level playing field between all independent repairers and car manufacturer-based dealer repairers, to allow for consumer choice. If you have a mechanic that you prefer working on your car, how dare anyone tell you that you can't? And ensure affordability, because as we know, with everything in life, the more competition you have, the more the costs become more affordable, because you have lots of competitors, so you're not going to get anybody charging way too much because they know they will lose the work to somebody else. Now, that doesn't happen when you limit repairs or anything like that to just a select few, which is what has been happening and what they are trying to keep happening all around the world through manufacturer-based dealerships. So equal access. Now, the other important thing about this is telematics, and this was something that was left out of the Australian legislation, which is a real shame because now we've got to work towards fixing this up as well. So basically, diagnostic data was accessed by mechanics by simply plugging in a scan tool or a laptop computer or whatever it may be to gain that information. So now that is not the only means of doing that, of course. Telematics, sending wireless information out back to the manufacturer dealer or to the car company about how you drive, where you're driving, what sort of revs you're achieving with your car, what condition your engine is in, what condition your parts may be in, whether you need to come in for a service or whatever, which is all well and good when it's just on a safety front. The trouble is when no one else has access to that information, only them, then we end up in the same situation as before, because then they are the only ones who can determine when your car needs to come in, when something needs to be done. Telematics is a big, big issue. It has been around for a long time, and I'm surprised that more hasn't been done. But I think to date, to control the amount of information a car company can hold on to or their official dealerships can gain from you. And in the end, the question that needs to be asked, in my opinion, it's a very simple one. When the car is purchased by the consumer, who owns the data? The car company or the person who's driving the car? Or owning the car, I should say. I think it's very, very clear. It's the person owning the car owns everything to do with that car. They are the ones ultimately responsible for that car. The data is something that they should be responsible for as well, or at least given the choice as to decide whether or not that data can be shared with others for commercial purposes, commercial gain. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, they can say safety as much as they want. This is all about making money. And yes, there is a safety aspect to it, of course, and some of these systems are just amazing, like when you're in an accident, calling emergency services, blah, blah, blah. But let's, you know, be really honest with ourselves here. The main focus of it is to make money, to return cars to dealerships to get whatever is required ahead of any independent repairer. How terrible would that be? You going to the mechanic you really want. Telematics is an important part of this global right to repair movement. I think it's very, very important to ascertain who actually owns that data. In my opinion, it's very, very clear. The owner of the car, nobody else. It's interesting when it comes to telematics. If I said to you, how would you like it if I could monitor through your mobile phone, for example, everywhere you've gone, everywhere you're going to, who you're speaking to, when you're speaking to them, and what you're speaking about, you wouldn't like it very much, even though plenty of people say that's what goes on at the moment. But you wouldn't like it very much, would you? Well, we seem to say when we buy a car that it's perfectly all right for the car company to own all of that data and to do with that data whatever they please. And yes, when you sign your contract to buy it, there is, you know, some fine text there about the data side of things and that they need it for this, that, the other. But 99.9% of consumers don't even look at it, don't even read it, and of course, don't even realise what is happening to their rights in that regard. So I think data shouldn't be any different in terms of anything else you own with the car. It belongs to the consumer, and car manufacturers have played on consumers being blissfully unaware and really caring even less about the data systems on their car. A lot of them just don't know. Another interesting point I've always found with the right to repair situation too is that the major automotive aftermarket brands, the component manufacturers, the parts manufacturers of the world, are also OE suppliers to most of the automotive manufacturers, if not all of them. Yet somehow, the day the box comes in the brand name of the automotive aftermarket company and not the car company, it's suddenly a warranty voiding inferior component. This is beyond laughable. It's inane and it should not be tolerated. And this has been going on for many, many years. The exact same part in a different box. Guess what? Your warranty's void if you put that in a car. Exact same component. I understand when it's cheap rubbish and that sort of thing. I get it. But in that situation, I just find beyond belief. In my opinion, this should never have become an us versus them situation, us being independent automotive repairers and the car manufacturers or their dealerships. But this is very much what happened here in Australia and what is happening all over the world. Our experience here saw non-stop lobbying after more than a decade across different ministers, different governments, some happy to champion the cause, others not so cooperative, some people just purely did not care. But when you bring it down to that core point that I've mentioned earlier in this podcast, that it's all about protecting the consumer and giving the consumer the best deal, that's where you cannot go wrong. And that's my advice to everyone fighting this good fight all over the world. Freedom of choice of repairer, access to parts and codes no matter where you live. I mean, look at a country like Australia, where I'm from. The stories of people that had to tow cars 5,000 kilometres, people who lived in the outback in northern Western Australia, had to tow a car 5,000 kilometres to have the appropriate codes inputted for a transmission replacement. So the car manufacturer has happily sold the part, the transmission, to be replaced to the independent repairer. The repairer has fitted it. Guess what? Without the codes, the car can't drive. And it had to be towed 5,000 kilometres for those codes to be added by a big city dealer down in Perth and then sent back. Absolutely insane. This is the kind of thing that was happening. But it won't happen anymore in Australia because it becomes illegal, or it is illegal as of July 1 last year. Thank goodness for that. An overriding factor in all of this too is that there is more than enough business for manufacturer service centres and the independent repairers all over the world. And this market is growing every year. It's not getting smaller. And as we go to EVs, there's even more opportunities. But with millions of ICE engine cars all over the world and the influx of EVs and so forth, there is more than enough business for manufacturer-based service centres and the independents. So hopefully, as a global movement, right to repair does get enforced, is followed, and you'll find that everybody will still earn great revenue. The consumer will be the big winner out of everybody else, but nobody loses out. This is the thing. Nobody loses out. Yet there seems to be this theory from the car manufacturers or their dealer networks, all the people representing those dealer networks, that this will cause huge problems. And it doesn't. It doesn't. In Australia, it's working fine, and I'm sure it's going to continue to work fine well into the future. Yes, you may say we're a small market, but we faced even bigger hurdles when you think of the power of the huge manufacturers versus tiny automotive aftermarket in comparison on a global scale to those companies. And guess who won? The automotive aftermarket won. And that's thanks to the efforts of Australia's Automotive Aftermarket Association, who did an astounding job, and independent repairers that supported them through that cause. And I wish everyone else around the world who are fighting for right to repair all the very best. It's great to see a global movement getting into full swing, and I'm sure that it will be successful for the reasons I've outlined in this podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Paul Marinelli, based in Melbourne, Australia, and I hope you're enjoying your podcasts here on the new Talk to Motive Automotive Aftermarket podcast platform. You can find me at marinellipr.com.au, or you can look me up on LinkedIn or Facebook under Paul Marinelli.